Amen. What are your names?
Dave
and Emily. Father, thank you for Dave and Emily. We thank you for your thoughts toward them. In Jesus' name. And even as you sat there, the yellow grabbed my attention. And I saw the color yellow, and the first thing that came to my spirit is that at times when in those old Western movies, whenever someone wouldn't see it through, they'd call them yellow. But I heard the Lord saying, there's a new courage and a new boldness coming in on you. And I heard the Lord saying, there's a roaring of a lion that's in you that you've not even known that you've had. But there's an aggressiveness now that's coming forth in this hour in your life, for there is yet much to walk. There's yet much to lay hold of. There's a new unity I'm bringing forth in your family. God says it's as if though there's been voids in some spaces where it shouldn't have been that way. But I hear God saying, I'm bringing a unity. Or I even see the two of you, you were walking hand to hand, but then you dropped that and you came together hip to hip. I'm bringing you together more as one, says the Lord in this hour, that even though the storm has come, I hear God saying, you're coming out on the other side in a new unity with a new vision. I'm expanding the vision of your eyes to realize I'm doing a great thing in your life, a great thing. And I just see you even planting. It's kind of similar to what I saw before. I see you planting, and you planted, and there were three that came up, and you planted one other, and then three more came up. And I hear the Lord saying, you've done more than you realize. You've sowed so much. You've poured out. You've even left yourself for last at times. But I hear the Lord saying, even in this hour, I'm pouring back into you. I'm ministering to those areas. I see God giving you a massage in your back and saying, you just relax. Let me minister to you. And this is a time where you're going to finish that book that you quite haven't finished, but you've wanted and desperately wanted that time for yourself. In that time, in the rest comes the warfare, says the Lord. So as you rest in him, the hand of the Lord will be unleashed on your behalf, says God. Crooked places are coming straight as you walk forward and as you trust him to handle all those details of life for you, says the Lord. But you're entering into a new level of schooling in the school of the Holy Spirit. There's a new level for you. You've graduated. You've gone through, and I hear the Lord saying there's a whole new level for you. There's new things. So there's a new season of discovery of things that have been in you all along, things that have been stirring on the inside, and God says, I'm bringing them out more and more in this hour so that you can realize there is more on the inside of you. I've said you got the goods, you got the goods. You're going to walk, you're going to identify and develop all that I have on the inside of you, says the Lord. And the Lord says, am I not the provider? Am I not the one who makes a way, says God? So as you continue to trust, I'm the one that will cause things to happen, says God. So there's a lesson in this hour of hands off. And I see you kind of going on a Harley Davidson without the hands, and you're going full blast. And you're going to enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride, enjoy the ride, enjoy the ride, says the Lord. For my hand is at the wheel, and I am guiding you in this hour. So as you trust me and you enjoy the ride, I'm bringing you to the place that I've destined for you, says the Lord. There's an anointing on your cooking, and as you can tell, as you feed, I see people coming to your dining room table just saying, hey, I was in the neighborhood. And as you feed them, I just hear the Lord saying there will be opportunity to share, opportunity to impart. The Lord says your cupboards will not run dry, but even as you serve, even as you pour out to others, I hear the Lord saying, you're feeding me, says the Lord. Just as you feed my children, you're feeding me. And I will cause people to come knock on your door. And don't worry about, am I wearing a sign that says, tell me your problems. But in the anointing, there is an anointing, says the Lord, to listen and to pray and to say, we're here with you. For when people see you, they feel my heart. They sense my heart in you, says the Lord. So you carry my heart well. Job well done, says the Lord.
Brother, I see that in the past, at some point, you have stepped into a bear trap. I'm wearing the aerobic instructor mic now. But I just see you're walking just through the woods. You mind your own business. And you stepped into a bear trap, you know, clamped around your leg, and but you were able to deal with the pain and get over it, because you're a tough guy. You can do that. You know how to just live your life, and suffer through the pain and not tell anybody about it. Just get over it and do your job. But the problem is, the bear trap that I see in this vision is chained to a stake in the ground, and so the real problem is that it's kept you from continuing your walk. And God says that it was a trap that was laid for you by people and by the devil, and that you stepped in it not of your own will, but you walked right into it. And God says he's coming to remove the bear trap. He's going to pull it off of you, because your walk isn't done, brother. It's not. And you've come a long way. This is not God saying you're a stunted, you know, Christian and you're immature. That's not what this is. This is God saying there's more for you. there's more. There's a walk that's going to take you through the woods, and you're going to enjoy the rest of your life. There's a spiritual growth that's coming to you. So I'm going to pray for you that right now. Lord God, we just we thank you for our brother. We thank you for the man of God that he is. God, that he's a strong man. You've made him strong in his heart and even in his body. And so, God, we're just going to pray now that you just take this bear trap off, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that whatever happened to him, whatever people have done, whatever he stepped into, that you would just remove it. And, God, we just thank you that there's no place for shame in his heart. God, that he is clean by the blood of the Lamb. God, that he is sanctified before you, Lord. We just pray for a healing. God, whatever places have been hurt in him by this thing, God, we pray for complete healing. Lord, that just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the furnace and didn't even smell like smoke, God, that you would remove every single scar, Lord, of this thing in Jesus' name. And we just proclaim that he is free in the name of Jesus. He is free to be a man of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just even pray for the prophetic anointing to come forth in him. God, that you would open his ears to hear you more clearly than ever before. In Jesus' name, God, give him boldness to speak. And we just come against the, brother, I see that there's been a timidity in you to speak the things you know God's telling you to speak. And God says to be bold and to speak what he's given you, because if you don't, it will turn to bitterness in your heart. So be bold to speak, because God is releasing that prophetic anointing tonight in Jesus' name. It's being released. And sister, I saw you as a cowgirl on a horse, but it was a really pretty cowgirl, not like all grungy, you know. Hey y'all, what's going on? Not, you know, you're like, you know, this is great. Nice boots, you know, nice hat. And you had a lasso. You were riding a horse, and you were lassoing the calves, the rowdy calves. God says he's made you like a cowgirl to go around and lasso the rowdy calves, round them up, hog tie them, and teach them the word of the Lord. God says he's made you that way. And so I see you just going around the back of the pack. I'm thinking of dogs now, but just around the back of the herd. Thank you. I heard you. Around the back of the herd, and find those stray sheep that are just stray calves that are just starting to walk off. You know, and you can spot them. God says to trust your instincts, that he's given them to you. And to be bold again, this boldness thing is big for you guys. Be bold to speak to those people. I see it often with teenagers even. Just coming to them and saying, you're drifting. You know you're drifting. And they are going to respond to you. They're going to say, you're right. So just watch those opportunities and go for it. God has made you to be a strong couple. I believe that there's a new strength just coming to you in terms of that willingness to speak, that willingness to take steps to minister to people. Brother, I also see you just around a car. You're working on a car with a couple of the guys, and there's going to be opportunities for you to just bring up conversations, bring up ideas about God, bring up ideas about the Bible, and even taking the conversation that's already existing and around the car and turning it just subtly, asking questions to guys because you know them and you know the kind of stuff that they're thinking. So if you don't work on cars, start, because or bikes, whatever it is. Working with your hands with guys in a shop. He's going to give you opportunities.
Cowgirl. That's pretty good. If I could have sung a little Western song, I would have. But Brother, God gave me a vision. I was sitting over there and listening to these words. And I just saw a group of young men, and you were one of them. In your area, neighborhood, or whatever, patch. And a lot of these guys were just sort of had a feeling of being dispossessed, not really a part of what was going on, angry. And over the years, some of those guys are now gone. And yeah, somehow God's preserved you when you should have been, by all rights, in the ground. God's preserved you. the process you've been over and over again, God has brought you to a place of crushing. I was talking about that earlier, but it's something we go through. And you remind me now, and I'm not being flippant here, I just, it's what comes to me. It's like roasted garlic. It starts out hard and a little bitter. But you've been through a fire and a fire and a fire. Been three major things, like furnaces. But God's been roasting you and taking out the bitterness and putting in a sweetness and a pliability. And roasted garlic, when it's done right, it spreads just like butter on the toast. It's the most marvelous thing. It run everybody out of the room, but you don't care. And listen, God's you're like roasted garlic. God's done something in you, and He's taken away the bitterness, and that, and you've been seeing yourself as a young man, and that feeling of being dispossessed and angry, and that anger has been lifted out of you. And what He's put in you and what's left is a spiritual gift of mercy. Now listen, whatever you've been in the past, I see you, brother. And I see that there is a heart in you that responds to pain in somebody else. You feel it. And at times you weep and you think, this is stupid. What am I doing? But it's that spiritual gift of mercy, and it works down in the gut. This is not a thing that begins in the mind. It begins in the gut and comes up and takes the rest of you. And listen, God calls you a man of mercy now. A man who's been tried, a man who's been roasted, who's now a man of mercy. So listen, I'm to tell you, give play to the gift. Give play to it. You go visit the sick at the hospital. Go ahead. Pray for them. Go to the funeral home. Listen, you need to go to the funeral home when they're having the visitation, or whatever you call it up here. You call it a visitation? Wake. When you're having the wake or the visitation, we don't say wake down south, we say visitation. Go. You need to go. You need to shake hands, look people in the eye. God's going to give you a little word, a little sentence that's going to minister way out of bounds from what it should. That's what that gift is. The spiritual gift just multiplies what you do. That's what God's going to use you. And listen, pray for the sick. And listen, you need to just do something about the alcoholics, drunks. You got something there, brother. You need to reach out. God's going to let you mess around in people's hearts. I see you reaching right in, like stirring a little pot to somebody's heart. So there's something about you going to be able to reach a drunk's heart, a drunk's mind or something, and a man of mercy. And you've quit being mad. And sister, you're an interesting couple. There's a teaching gift. There's a boundary maker in you. You set boundaries. You've got a black and white kind of a thing going on in your... it's right or it's wrong. There is no in between. But I want you to tell you something. That's a really good thing to have with your husband here. You guys make a good team. You're the black and white lady. He's the mercy guy. And between the two of you, you've got a kind of a balanced ministry going on. So listen, I just want to encourage you with that teaching gift and this ability to make fences. You see, we need fences, right? I haven't got time to go into it, but we need, there are boundaries. There are things that are wrong that you're not supposed to do. And things are right that you're supposed to do. And we all need to know what they are. Right? And that's what that teaching gift does. So listen, I want to encourage you to get in the Word some. Take a course on Scripture, on theology. I just think you would, there's something about, if you just take a course on theology, systematic theology, you would love it. And then all you need to do is start setting the fences. Say, well, the Scripture says don't do this. The Scripture says do that. Scripture says don't do this. Scripture says do that. And just sort of lay the thing out black and white. Don't be afraid of it. Because, see, you got balance here. Because he's going to love them. So you give him the word, and he's going to love them. And the two of you together, you guys make a good team. God, I brought you through a lot of furnaces, a lot of road wrecks. I see a stampede of buffalo come right through. Boom. But you've survived, and this really is a time of blossoming for the two of you. And the last word I want to give you is God says, be yourself, and don't be afraid of it. Okay? Amen.
And one more thing. I just see that you spent a period of your life being a pincushion for people's opinions and thoughts. I even see like a couple of relationships in the family, and you're kind of in the middle, and you're being this pincushion. Just you're hearing everything and not able to do anything about it. You just got it. You're going to be the one who's going to take the higher ground and just hear it all and not do anything about it. God says he's going to remove those little pins from you and heal it. And there's even like a little rope that's been around you that has kept you from being able to stretch your wings in a sense. And he says it's tied to that pincushion thing. He's going to heal it, and you're just going to drop that rope off like it was never there. So, God, we pray that you would just come, and whatever words she's heard, whatever opinions she's heard that have just been like a pincushion thing in her, Lord, with pins stuck in her, we pray you would come tonight and remove those, Lord, in Jesus' name, and heal her completely. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. And Lord, thank you for all these words. God, for the flow of your spirit that is coming upon this couple, God, to fill their lives to a new level. And we just say yes and amen to everything you have spoken. Let it be. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.